Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Purpose Tune Podcast. The goal of my show is to create valuable content to broaden your knowledge, inspire you, and get you in the right mindset so that you can apply it in your own life to drive impact, generate meaning, and achieve your purpose. Life. Now, today's guest is Seth Erickson. Seth is a personality coach, someone who is particularly specializes in the brand of humor, the kind that draws people into him. He's a quick thinker with the ability to distill complex ideas into easy to understand information, and he's not afraid to work hard and apply tenacity when needed. Seth uses storytelling as a way of helping businesses, specifically startups. Statistics show that 90% of startups fail, and Seth's vision is to reduce that disheartening number by at least 10%. He recognizes that many startups excel at building their tech and ideas, but fall short when communicating their value to the world. Seth, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
I'm good. Other than the fact that I am not a personality coach, I help with branding and storytelling. So I just wanted to make that clear. Like, please do not contact me for help with your personality. I cannot help you fix your personality. So,
well, you know, thinking about it, you know, so in the space of helping companies scale, my undergrad is in psychology and we do launch personality tests. So in that space of personal development and, human behavior, that does fall into the realm of personality. Although the kind of concept that I mentioned is completely different. It's more like, I think, entertainment, whereas yours is more like, how do you get companies to scale? So let's start there. How do you help startups scale?
Sure. Yeah. So one of the problems that, you know, it's like we've worked with over 100 startups, so you kind of see this repeating pattern. And, you know, one of the biggest things that we see is, you know, we'll talk to these companies or these founders, and they, they've gone to school, they've learned everything about their craft and their skill, they're passionate about it, they want to change the world, but they get hung up on the tech or the idea, and they're not communicating to the customer in a way that makes them go, oh, that's why I should care about your product, or that's why I should care about your service. So, for instance, you know, they'll be like, you know, our product uses AI, and most customers don't even understand the difference between machine learning and neural networking, let alone what AI is, other than they've heard of this thing called Skynet, and that's bad, right? So it's not, so talking about the tech doesn't tell them when they're like, AI uses AI, it's amazing. They're like, but that doesn't tell me how it solves my problem, right? So they kind of get hung up on one piece, and they need to talk about how that AI will actually enable this, will enable the solution. And so we help them with, you know, how do you tell a story? How do you create a brand? How do you communicate to your audience? Because at the end of the day, even if you're a tech startup, you still have to deal with humans. And how do humans communicate? They do it through words. You know, they flap their mouths and sounds come out and it goes into the other person's ear. And so it's always words that we're using to communicate. And so so that's where we start. That's the area that I think we focus on, because whether you're a leader and you need to communicate to your team, or whether you're a company and you need to communicate to your audience or to your customers, you're going to have to use words to do that. So that's what we do. And, you know, and part of that communication is also going to be, you know, potentially to investors, right? So one of the other things that we see a lot is like, they'll come and they'll say, here's my 100, you know, page slide deck. And it's like full of all these numbers and everything. And, you know, and it's important, obviously, to prove out the idea financially, right? Because an investor doesn't want to put money into something that's going to fail. But you have to get the investor interested in the idea, interested in the, like a customer, why they should care about your startup, right? Like, you know, because like in the tech world, like, oh, we've got AI, we've got blockchain, we've got crypto, we've got, you know, we got VR, we got AR, right? Well, so do like a thousand other startups, right? But so it's how you communicate, how you tell your story, and then how you get those investors or clients interested. That's really going to make or break it for you at the end of the day. So that's what we do.
That's awesome. So I love the fact that you incorporate communication techniques to convey the value. Share a little bit about storytelling. How does that come into play when you're in a conversation with a client or company?
Yeah. So often we have to start by educating the client about like, why is storytelling so important, and why should we use storytelling versus marketing tactics or psychological, you know, triggers and all this stuff. And, you know, it really goes back to understanding that humans have used storytelling since the beginning of time. And we were doing that before we were painting on caves, on the inside of caves, before we had a written language, right? We had to pass information from one generation to the next. And the way that we did that was we used stories. And we know that because every culture around the world, you know, through looking at anthropology and now the word's escaping me. You know, basically studying these cultures over you know, thousands of years, we see stories being repeated over and over and over again. Right. And so Joseph Campbell, you know, created the idea of the hero's journey, which was based on several other people's work, but he kind of like brought it all together and said, you know what, we can see the hero's journey in, you know, tales from India from 10,000 years ago. We can see it in the Babylonian culture. We can see it in the Jewish culture. We can see it in all these cultures that have existed for thousands of years. So there's something here, right? like people that aren't even, have never even met each other are using the same process basically. And so why is that important? And so, so we kind of talk and educate people like this stuff is really important. And it's something that humans have constantly used, you know, to say, you know, eat this berry, don't eat that berry, conduct your life in this way, you know, don't do it that way. Do this in the spring, do this in the fall, do this in the summer, right? And that kept generation after generation after generation alive and trained them so that they could go on. And so, so when we hear stories, our brains automatically lock in, they lock into that pattern because it's an important pattern and it's just kind of in our DNA. So, so understanding that is kind of like your starting point, right? So then the next question is, well, okay, I believe you, right? Like, how do we tell a good story? And so, you know, we educate them on things like the hero's journey, which I mentioned before. We educate them on, you know, how do you tell a short story? You know, there's problem and solution. A tagline can be a story. And so you can kind of mix and match these different elements to create a story. And like the way I, or the analogy I like to use is it's kind of like, you know, you have your basic ingredients, right? You got flour, sugar, you know, milk or butter, you know, whatever. And you can make a cookie or you could make a muffin or you could make a waffle, right? Like, and so you have your basic ingredients and then each company will want to add in different ingredients. So maybe, you know, company A wants to make a cookie with chocolate chips and company B wants to make a cookie with M&Ms, right? And so you can kind of mix and match these things. And so we kind of help them facilitate their story, or we facilitate helping them tell their story. Like, we're not there to tell them, this is what your story should be. We're there to help guide them. So at the end of the process, they're like, this sounds like me, this feels like me, this is accurate, this is it, right? Like, so so that's kind of what we do. And so the point is quite often there's an education process because people go, oh, well, story, that's like, that's for books or that's what, you know, movies use or whatever. And it's like, no, all humans tell stories. Some are better at it than others, just like we all breathe. And, you know, like breathing, yes, we all do it, but you can get better at it and you can do amazing things when you learn how to control that, and you can get better at being a storyteller. it's there, it's in you. We just kind of have to develop it a little bit, and then you can start to, you know, grab your audience's attention. You can command a room. You know, there's all kinds of things that you can do once you realize what you're doing and you realize how to do it more effectively.
Yeah, that's amazing. So I had a guest on my show who's a storyteller, and he mentioned that storytelling is a way to connect with people's emotions. Mm-hmm. It's a way to paint a picture that it can be vivid for people to understand a concept. Mm-hmm. And what's your take on that?
Well, so emotion is important for two reasons. So I'll talk to that part, because there's actually two parts in there. Sure. Emotion is important in storytelling because, number one, when you have an emotion, when somebody feels an emotion through a story, it moves that story from short-term memory to long-term memory. So that's one thing that happens. So what does that mean? Well, it helps you be more memorable, right? Like, if people connect with the story, then they'll remember it and retell it to other people. The other thing is that you actually need emotion to get people to take action. So if you're using storytelling for marketing or branding, for instance, and you want your customer to take an action, which would be buying your product, hiring you, purchasing your service, whatever it is, there needs to be an emotional component to it. Now, I don't say that like to say, oh, you should manipulate people into buying your product by playing with their emotions. But I think having emotion in your story helps those other areas. So the other thing about being connected, so let's jump over to the neuroscience. So they did this study, and I don't know if the other guy you talked about this, but they did the study where they hooked up a storyteller, put a bunch of, connected him. The word's escaping me.
Wires.
Yeah, the wires into on the brain, you know, like, and they did the same with the audience, and it was like a pretty large audience. It was like 500 or 1,000 people, and they were basically doing brain scans. And so the storyteller started telling the story, and everybody's kind of like on different wavelengths. And the storyteller starts telling the story, and over time, everybody in the audience started syncing up with the same frequency that the brain or the storyteller's brain was going at. So that's connection right there, right? It's kind of sounds like some science fiction weird stuff, right? But it means that everybody's connecting to the story. One of the other interesting things about neuroscience is we basically create simulations. And this is what happens, like, so like you'll tell a story about something that happened to a friend, and then the friend will be like, well, if I was you, I would have done this, right? Well, what happened was he or she created a simulation in their brain, put themselves in that simulation, and then asked the question, what would I do? And then the brain kind of came back and said, well, you would have reacted this way. And so now that person's saying, well, I would have done this, right? Mm-hmm. But we see simulation happening all the time. We just don't realize it. Like we can put this in practice right now. Who was your favorite teacher in school?
My favorite teacher in school?
Yeah.
In elementary, middle, or high school, or
what, any time?
Mrs. Parmenter.
Okay. So you just created a simulation. You had to go back into your memory. Mm-hmm. You probably saw her or thought about some experience you had with her, right? You had to recreate all that stuff in your brain, and you did it on the fly.
Right.
And that was the simulation. So, mm-hmm. So it's always happening. We don't always recognize that that's what's happening, but now that we can scan brains and look at things and see things lighting up and all this stuff, we're like, oh, okay. This is happening all the time. It's like, you go see a movie, right? And 2 hours go by and you're like, man, that movie didn't seem like it was very long. Well, if you were engaged in the story, right, then you were basically putting yourself into the hero's situation the whole time and trying to think through, what would I do if this person said this or were shooting at me or I had magical abilities or whatever the movie is, right? Like, What would I do if I was being chased by zombies? That's all part of the simulation that the brain happens, or what happens in the brain, so that we can basically learn from those situations and then determine the best course of outcome. It doesn't necessarily mean it will be the best course of outcome, but it's what we're trying to do.
Right, right. That's fascinating. And thank you so much for sharing that, more of a science side of how our brains think and how that connects to our emotions. Now, the power of visualization in storytelling, where's the connection there?
Well, that is part of simulation.
Okay.
So when you're, so let's say you're visualizing that you want to give a talk, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you're creating a simulation, putting yourself in that situation and going, this is what I want to do. This is the outcome I want to happen. So, yeah. So that is part of simulation. And in simulation, it engages your visual cortex, your audible cortex. It can engage your emotions. It can engage your hearing. That's where they say that when people hear stories, up to 7 different parts of the brain light up. Mm-hmm. It's because the simulation is happening and all your senses and different parts of your brain are working together to create that simulation. And so a visualization technically would be a simulation. So.
Right. Right. That's cool. Thanks again. Thanks for sharing that. really fascinating stuff. So as you're working with companies, what makes companies effective and what doesn't?
So one of the big points is that now my brain is going off course. One of the big problems, and this goes back to what I was talking about how startups communicate. Mm-hmm. They want to talk about themselves, and they don't want to talk, or it's not that they don't want to talk about the customer. They just don't think about how they're communicating to the customer in a way that's about the customer, right? Mm-hmm. So to give you an example, let's say you met me at a party. We'd never met before. And all I did was go, blah, blah, blah. I'm so amazing. I'm great at this. I can do this thing. I can do that thing. Here's my Porsche. I live in a big house, right? You'd be like, I got to go. I got to go do something, right? Like I want to get away from this person because you would find me annoying, right? Well, lots of companies do that. They talk about how great they are, how great their tech is, how they've won these awards, how they were featured in this thing. But all that is about them. It's mm-hmm. not about their customer. So, mm-hmm. so when you're communicating with a customer, and you're saying I, and not saying you, then the conversation is inverted from what it needs to be. And so, you know, you need to be talking to the customer in your marketing and communication, talking about them, talking about the problem, talking about how you're going to help them solve that problem, but not talking about how amazing and great you are. Like that is, it's not that important. What the customer is looking for is, do you have the solution to my problem? And so that's one of the big areas where even in the storytelling process, like we'll take them through it and they'll say, oh, you know, this thing. And I'm like, well, is this a problem for you or your customer? And they're like, oh, that's us. Sorry. You know, and the reason that happens is because as a species, we are self-interested and, you know, and so we're always thinking about ourselves. We're always kind of focused on ourselves. And that's good. It actually is what helps humanity continue to thrive and go on. but when you're having that conversation with a customer, the customer is the most important person, you know, to them. And so the story needs to be about them. And like what I try to explain to our customers or our clients is that, you know, you have your brand and at the center of your brand is your story, right? But at the center of your story is your customer, right? And so all these things kind of work together to be about the customer, not so much about you. Mm-hmm. And so most people get it. Some people push back on that and they're like, well, you know, it's like, no. You're in business to solve a problem. Mm-hmm. Talk about that. Who are you solving the problem for? Your customer, right? Your customer pays you money. So you should be talking to them about them. Right. So
there's so many parts to all of you just said, like 2-3 minutes ago. Like there's that piece about how you communicate to the customer. And then there's also the part about how do you convey, you know, the company's value proposition. And then there's also a part about like how do you, you know, from a business owner perspective, like how do you switch that mindset to not talk about the ego, about you, and talk about the we or the customer. And there's just is it almost sounds like it's more than just how you communicate, but also changing, people's mindset so that the focus is about the customer's desire. Because at the end of the day, without customers, you know, businesses don't, you know, they don't succeed. And so that's pretty fascinating. So speaking of effective companies and you know, what are successful companies and what are not, what types of companies can really convey their message in a way that's more effective? Like, how does all of that lead into your personal success?
Well, I mean, you know, we work with startups mainly, but, you know, we've helped companies. So we've worked in 42 different industries. Mm-hmm. So,
That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, we've been around since 2004, so it's not our first rodeo, as the kids say here in Texas. what we do really could work for anybody, like whether you're an entrepreneur or your personal brand or your small business. Personality coaches probably could use some of this stuff. But you know, startups just are, that's our niche. We started working with a VC in 2006, and so we were exposed to a lot of startups, and and we actually floated away from that for several years because, you know, it's like when you do good work for people, then they recommend you to somebody else, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're building a synagogue website and you're building a construction company website, and you know, and we've kind of gone all over the place, and we have customers all over the board, but this, you know, storytelling is a universal principle. So anybody who's listening right now can use it. Like, it doesn't have to be just startups, doesn't have to be just this type of company, because like I said, at the end of the day, you're dealing with humans. Humans freaking love stories if you tell good ones. Now, the thing I will say is, like, if I tell an amazing story to the wrong person, then it's just going to bounce off of them, right? So one of the things is, do you understand your customer, right? Like, if I'm trying to tell you a story about, you know, a football product, right? And you don't watch football, you could care less about football, right? Like, that story is not going to work. So as powerful as it is, and as much as humans love storytelling, to kind of like tie this all up in a bow, if you tell the wrong story to the wrong, or if you tell the even a good story to the wrong person, it's not going to matter, right? Because they're not going to be engaged in that story or want to even be engaged in the story. So it's not a magic bullet or a silver bullet or, you know, one of those bullets that's does stuff.
So I love, on your website, it states the brain is a computer, emotions run the OS, and stories are the apps. That's a marketing statement there too, right? In itself, it catches this, your customers, attention. And then of course, once it catches their attention, you can go into the story and tell about like why that's important to the overall company success.
Yeah. So I'm using an analogy, right? And analogies quite often are used to help people. It helps with the syntax of going. So for instance, you might say, you're trying to describe something to somebody and maybe they've never experienced it before. And you're like, well, it's this really big fruit. It tastes kind of like a grapefruit, but it's sweeter than a grapefruit. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm talking about a pomelo, but you may have never experienced a pomelo or tried one yourself. So I have to try to describe it in a way that you can go, oh, I get what you're talking about with this thing. So I used computer because a lot of the startups that we work with are in the tech space and they know all kinds of stuff about computers. And so I'm trying to tie those ideas together so that they can go, oh, I get it. And I mean, to go deeper, you know, really You know, like we have firewalls, right? It's called bias. We have a conscious and a subconscious. That's basically like your, you know, Windows or your Mac OS, and then DOS or Unix, right? And so, all these things are there in the brain, and you know, it maps, because what do we as humans do? Well, we create other things, and then we, you know, it's like we're creating ourselves in these devices and whatnot. So, So I try to use that analogy to kind of tie it together in a way that people will go, oh yeah, that makes sense. And so, you know, okay, I get it. Our brains kind of have this operating system, you know, the stories are the apps or stories. Well, how do you write to the operating system, or how do you update an app or delete it? Or, you know, well, it's storytelling. So having the ability to tell a good story allows you to kind of write the code into the system. And that's actually why I wrote the book called How to Hack Humans, Storytelling for Startups. So,
yeah. So let's touch on that in a bit, but I want to transition into more about the human side of the business. So I love the fact that we're engaged in this, you know, tactical strategic operation of the business. But I'm also fascinated by the human behavior aspect of it. And I want to know what's at the end of the day, why did you create this business? Like what inspired you to do all of this work?
So
I guess in a way, if I wanted to word it, what is your purpose?
Well, you know, I think that's a good question. You know, I guess I would have to flip the question back on you just for my own clarity, is like, do you see purpose and vision being the same thing, or do you see them being separate things? So depending on how you answer that, I can give you an answer from my perspective.
Yeah. So that's a great question. So, you know, I think for me now, you know, it's just for me, people could have different perspective, but I think they are two different things. I see purpose as the overarching reason why I wake up every morning and do what I do. And I could do it without pay and I'd still be happy. Whereas vision is more like, you know, the strategic side of, I mean, we're talking about the context of business, strategic side of the business, like where do I want to see my business go? You know, what's the intent of why this business exists? I think purpose for me is more tied to my personal self. It could be related to my personal development, you know, a reason why I do what I do to make an impact in society, so that, you know, I want to be able to leave this place better than when I found it, kind of kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I agree. I think they are two separate things, but in my case, they're kind of linked together. So, so it took me a long time to figure out that I was a storyteller, even though, and the reason was, is because, you know, I went to design school. I learned all this stuff about design. I was taught over and over again, design changes the world. And so that's what I, you know, was focused on. And then I actually became pretty dissatisfied in my business because I was doing all this design. We were winning awards. We were making great money, but I would ask my clients, so, you know, have you, you know, made more sales? Have people, you know, filled out more forms? Are you, you know, getting more traffic, you know? And they'd be like, no, but we're really happy with, with the work you're doing for us. And I'm like, I'm not moving the needle in these businesses. And the reason I want to move the needle is because I like people. I want to see their business grow. And so I had to kind of like reevaluate everything and go, you know what, it's the words that sell, right? And convince people and educate them into buying. It's not, you know, the pretty pictures, right? Like that helps, it supports the words, but it is not the be all end all. And so I had to kind of like go, okay, how do I actually help my clients in a way that will move the needle? And a friend of mine said, you know, you're a storyteller. And I was like, great. How do I make money as a storyteller? Like, seriously, like, and so, he gave me a book called Story Wars by Jonah Sacks. And I read that book and it kind of changed my life. And then I wanted to learn more about storytelling. And then I basically read tons and tons of books on the subject. And then I started learning about the neuroscience and I read several hundred research papers on it. And then I did what, you know, what they always tell startups to do is go test your ideas in the marketplace. And so we started doing stuff with some of our customers and going, let's use some of the storytelling stuff I'm learning all about and see how it works. And then we're starting to hear things back like, oh, our response rate is double, you know, what it was before. The open rate's double, you know, what the industry standard is. The click-through rate's like 5 and 6 and 7 times higher than it was before. And it's like, wow, this stuff really works. Okay, so we actually went through the process of just rebranding the agency into Storyfy Agency. The reason we call it Storyfy is because Storyfy is an actual word in the dictionary. It means to tell or narrate in story. So we went from being a bland, boring, web design agency that was all about design and being cutting edge and cool and creative to a branding and storytelling agency that was all about like helping people, you know, win. And so, so in that process, and I tell that story to say in that process, and with the help of that friend of mine, I went, okay, my purpose is to help people tell better stories, mm-hmm. but my vision is to reduce the startup failure rate. And so it's like, I'm using this thing, the skill that I have, and that I'm getting better at all the time to affect my vision, which is a future state. And so when I wake up in the morning, to answer your question about purpose, when I wake up in the morning, I'm like, what can I do to keep or to try to make that number go down, mm-hmm. right? And so one of the things was, you know, writing a book. I know I can't go talk to everybody, but if I write a book, some people will read it and it will help them, even though I won't be able to help them directly. Mm-hmm. You know, being on a podcast, I get to talk to a bunch of people that will never meet unless they reach out and contact me. But hopefully the stuff that I'm saying will get them interested in storytelling or figuring out how to better communicate with their audience. And so then that means their business is going to be successful. And that means hopefully they won't fail. Now, it doesn't solve all the problems that startups fail or startups run into, but you know, if I can get them closer to hitting the mark, then that fulfills part of my purpose and it also fulfills part of my vision. So that's how I kind of see them tied together, if that makes sense.
So there isn't a right or wrong way of defining what your purpose is. And every guest on my show have their different, you know, they have different lived experiences and how they see mm-hmm. the world. And so if that's your purpose, more power to you. It's just keep on moving towards that and never side of it, right? And so mm-hmm. because when you're in business, things are going to go down. I'm sure you've, you know, stumbled through a lot of challenges in your business. And mm-hmm. what's going to keep you going is that purpose, that purpose that symbolizes, you know, that light that motivates you to continue on even when things get a bit tough. And so I'm glad that that you have, you know, a purpose that's meaningful to you, and that it sounds like you use it to help you get through some hurdles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
You mentioned several books, but curious, so what other books would you recommend to my audience who are interested in storytelling? Could you mention them again and then build on that?
Yeah, so like I said, I really enjoyed Story Wars by Jonah Sacks. You know, the Hero's Journey by Joseph Campbell's great. Mm-hmm. Actually, Story by Robert McKee, which is about screenwriting, is a really good book on storytelling, right? Like, you can learn the principles of storytelling and then apply them to your marketing, into your branding. It doesn't just have to exist like just because it's about writing a script doesn't mean you can't take things away from that and apply it across to your business. So like when I read about storytelling, I read, you know, how to write novels, how to do comedy, you know, like it was all over the place. Those are some of the, some really good, like strong foundational books on storytelling. Mm-hmm. Donald Miller has a book called Story Brand, which is a great like 101 class to storytelling and marketing. There's so many. Yeah, Lisa Caron has written several books on storytelling. One of them, I think it's Wired for Story, talks a little bit about the neuroscience or talks a lot more about neuroscience mm-hmm. in storytelling. So those are all great starting points. Joseph Campbell's a little dry in his writing, but it's still good information. So
yeah, I've read a few of his materials online. I agree with you. So aside from books, what or who inspires you and why?
Who inspires me? I oftentimes it's the companies I'm working with, because, you know, they've got big visions and big plans and big ideas. And that's really exciting to me. And it kind of re-energizes me when I'm working with a new founder or CEO or whatever, who's like, you know, we're going to change this industry. We're going to change, you know, the world or whatever. That's me though. Like, I don't really, you know, like lots of people will be like, oh, I'm inspired by, you know, Steve Jobs or Elon Musk or, you know, like these guys who actually have made it and done a lot. I'm inspired by the passion of, you know, these different founders that I've worked with and what they're trying to do. And, you know, they don't always make it, but, you know, they have hope and they have passion and they have courage, you know, to right. take on, you know, trying to be a startup.
Yeah. You mentioned the words hope, courage, and passion. It just gives me goosebumps because at the end of the day, right, it's not about, like, I've been on YouTube a lot listening to, you know, a lot of these personal development gurus and also entrepreneurs launching businesses. And you know, they often say, you know, of course, making money and, you know, building these companies to change the world is important. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, are you as a entrepreneur learning something in the process? You know, mm-hmm. you know, did you have the courage to do what you say you were going to do? You know, do you live every day as if it was less by chasing your passion? You know, in do you, you know, what you do, does it make sense? Is there a sense of meaning? Tony Robbins, you know, of course, the personal guru, and he often says the greatest failure is not achieving, it's not failing a business, but to achieve something and realizing that you're actually, you know, not fulfilled. Yeah. And it's like that analogy of climbing on top of the mountain. You thought you made it only to look over and say, oh my goodness, I actually climbed the wrong mountain. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so those things are important to keep in mind as we're either launching our own business or working with clients or customers or whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that was me and my business, you know, before we changed everything. Like, we had achieved a lot of success, but I was actually very unhappy. It's like, well, this doesn't make sense. I am making a ton of money. I've got won all these awards. My customers love me. Why am I so dissatisfied with everything? And mm-hmm. it's like, because like you said, like there wasn't any purpose to it. There was like, or the purpose that I was trying to get out of it wasn't there. So like, you can't squeeze, you know, what is it? Blood from a rock or an onion, or I don't know. Like, it just, it wasn't there. But my right. analogy was terrible, but.
No, I mean, I get to what you're saying. I think what you're trying to say is that everybody has a purpose, right? And is just identifying what the purpose is. And, you know, when I listen to people, you know, in my own personal life and say, you know, I don't know what my purpose is. I think I've lost it. And I tell them, you know, no, everyone has a purpose. We're born with purpose. We just have to identify what that is. It's within mm-hmm. us. We have never lost it. And so I think what you're trying to say there is that, you know, you had it, but you just wasn't, like, the focus wasn't there when you were making all these money and receiving all these awards. And so to be able to change your mindset a bit and say, look, okay, I have to find out what my purpose is and how that ties into my business. Because that's going to drive me further than, you know, than the opposite.
Yeah. Getting things in alignment, you know?
Exactly. So I know we're about that time. I just have a few more questions for you, and then I'll have you share a little bit about your book. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give my audience as it relates to, you know, people finding their own fulfillment and joy in life?
It's a good question. I would say that for me, anyway, I was really into stories and into movies from a small child. But again, you know, there's no like degree in storytelling, right? And so it was kind of hard for me to figure out like, oh, I'm a storyteller, right? Because nobody was like, oh, you should develop this skill because you'll make money at it. No, it was like, learn something so you can, you know, survive and take care of yourself. And so for me, it was art school, right? Mm-hmm. But it was always there. And, you know, like in my bio, it talks about how, like, when I was in preschool, you know, my mom went to go pick me up from school. Teacher met her out front. My mom thought I did something wrong. Turns out I did something that they had never seen before, which is they were showing these kids like three cards, and they would just ask the kids, what do you see? And the kids would say, I see this, this, and this. And they would just describe what was in the pictures. But what I was doing was, you know, creating characters, giving them backstory, saying what they were going to be doing later, you know, talking about their personalities. And so it was like, they were like, we have never seen this before, right? Like, I'm like four and I'm doing this. So now I'm 43. It took me forever to get to my purpose. Like, it wasn't until 2015 that I started going, oh, I'm a storyteller. This is part of my purpose. I should do this, right? But it was there since I was a kid. So maybe there's something, you know, for your audience listening, maybe there's something that you can look back into your past that actually points you towards what your purpose is, but you may not have realized it because nobody said, oh, that's amazing, or you should do this or that based on that thing. It was just like, well, that's weird. Okay, moving on.
Yeah. I think, and thank you for sharing that story because it's so powerful. Like, I'm actually now drawn into, you know, your story and why storytelling is a passion for you. It's because back when you were a kid, when we are kids, we fool around, we tell stories, we do things that make us feel more alive and more joyful without society really telling us what to do, because we're just free. And then as mm-hmm. we grow older, you know, we're bombarded by, you know, society's expectation of us and, you know, how we should act a certain way and think a certain way. And that just buries our creativity and, mm-hmm. you know, our sense of being, of who we truly are. And mm-hmm. so to your point or advice, you know, we should really think back when we were a child, what was it that, you know, we did that light us up, and mm-hmm. just see if we could find a way back to that space and really tap into that, that authentic realness mm-hmm. that we've always had it all along as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. And that's beautiful. Very beautiful. And of course your book. So let's say you recently published it. Tell us more.
Yeah. So I wrote the book like I said, because it's part of my vision of like, how do we help more people? You know, not everybody's gonna be able to afford our services. Maybe, you know, you're just like bootstrapping or whatever. So I wrote the book. It's basically done in three acts because, like I said, storyteller, like movies. First act is what is going on in the brain? Okay, so this is the fact, the science. It's not just me, you know, blowing smoke and saying, oh, you know, I've got this theory about storytelling. It's like, no, here's what science says. So you can, like, if you're, especially if you're somebody who's like, I want hard facts. I want to know what the truth is. The second part is, okay, I understand that. Now, how do I tell a good story? And I talk about all the different ways you can tell stories. Like, yes, the hero's journey is the most popular pattern, but there's other patterns that work as well. And so I talk about those. And then the third part is really, how do you apply this stuff? So I talk about everything from how do you write an email the right way, right? Like where we were getting like higher open rates and all this different stuff, to how do you update your website? How do you create your own story? Like I basically tried to give everything away for free, or $7.99. because I've read enough business books that I'm like, I don't like it when people give me a bunch of theory and then don't tell me how to do stuff. And then it's like, hire me to do this for you. No, if I can help somebody get better, and they don't ever hire me, that's great. I'm achieving, I'm working towards that vision. So, so yeah, that's what the book's about. Fun fact about the book, like movies have soundtracks. My book has a soundtrack. So if you look on Spotify for How to Hack Humans, you'll notice that if you get the book, each chapter has a song right under the title of the chapter. And that song either captures the feel of that chapter, or it relates to what I'm saying in the book. And you can listen to the playlist while you read the book. It's also on YouTube, or you can listen to it separately. It's crazy. It's all over the place. I got hip hop. I got electronic music. I got French music. I got, you know, 80s, you know, Guns N' Roses, you know, like it's pretty wild. And like I said, I tried to write it in a way that was entertaining, so that you would enjoy the experience of reading and learning about storytelling and not just getting this like college level professor, you know, droning on at you about the importance of storytelling, you know, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is not just a fun fact. That's also so creative. That's, I love that. You know, you are living your purpose, dude. Like I sense it through my screen. Like you are shining it, like you are leveraging your creativity and you're making a difference. And your clients, I know, sees that. Where can people find you should they want to connect with you through this podcast?
Yeah. So if you go to storifyagency.com, Storify is Storify and then agency. I will probably, I'll set up a landing page. So anybody who's listening to the show can go to /purpose and you can download the first chapter of the book for free. That kind of gets you started with the neuroscience stuff and all the crazy fun stuff that's happening in the brain when story's happening. So you can check that out. And then obviously the book is on Amazon, the playlist is on Spotify and YouTube. So, and other than that, you can always track me down on LinkedIn, but yeah, if you're interested in talking, always happy to have a 15-minute call and see if we're a good fit. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, sir, for your time. Appreciate your story and also the book. Folks, if you love to connect with Seth, please do reach out to him and reference where you found him, which is through the Purpose Tune podcast. I hope you all are having a splendid day and take care.